RadioMD.com.
Decade after decade, he informs, educates, and spreads the word on good health. It's time for the Power of Health. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
I'm back today with Natasha Trenev, and we are talking about probiotics. But we're talking about the industry, we're talking about quality and integrity, and we're talking about choosing products. And Natasha, I see that you just have done a podcast with Steve Langford, and this will be posted on the natron.com site?
Yes, it will be posted on www.natron.com. And the name of the podcast is How Do You Have Confidence in Your Probiotic? And his website is www.healthquestpodcast.com. And, it's a wonderful podcast. I mean, we're giving great information here. And then we're also going to be posting on the Natron website what to look for when buying probiotics. Seven key factors every quality probiotic supplement label should tell you.
That'll be a new downloadable information people can download and print.
Yes. Now this, what to look for when buying a probiotic is a new document that should be up in the next couple of days. But the Steve Langford podcast, I believe, is already up. But keep looking for it because this is probably the most important movement we've had in the health food industry since we started with the organic labeling issues. Because as I firmly believe that probiotic supplementation is the foundation of health for the 21st century, by God, we better know how we choose this product that's so important to our health.
You know, you talk about your standards that you are so passionate about, and you've been working on this for a long time, you know, but we have to kind of sometimes go back to the very beginning. And I think a lot of people are sometimes even forgetting why they're taking a probiotic in the first place. I mean, we see things advertised. We see functional foods. We've talked about those before. We see the word probiotic, I mean, everywhere. It's put on products all the time. I mean, sometimes, you know, even on some of the foods we're eating. I mean, but if we have to, like, clarify the reason that every single person today needs a probiotic, what would it be?
Well, look, the gut flora, especially of people in the westernized countries, has been adulterated, A, by the, junk food diet that all of us have consumed, the abuse of antibiotics since the 1940s when they became prevalent, and even today people insist on getting antibiotics. It's caused a huge shift in the balance of the most important ecosystem, which is the microbes in our gut. Hence, you have the explosion of autism, which used to be like one in 10,000 in the 1970s, and now is like one in 50, according to the CDC. And that's not based on a genetic shift. That's based on environmental problems that are causing this huge shift with our children. Attention deficit, depression, mood swings. All of this can be traced to our gut flora. And as a matter of fact, the new books have been published on the gut-brain connection talk about the connection between Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia, and other mental problems that are directly associated with our gut. So with this much information, and right now I have in-house well over 5,000 research articles in the field of probiotic, and there is probably more than 15,000 available right now, and probably 4 or 5 articles published every month from diverse groups from around every university, clinical institution around the world. So it is the most important topic that's being discussed now, and that's why the field of probiotics is slated to grow to $44 billion in sales by the year 2018, which is great for the manufacturers, but you as the consumer, shouldn't you have at least basic knowledge, not about whether you're going to have a Columbia roast in your designer coffee, but the kind of organism that you are getting in your probiotic to really enhance that most important ecosystem in your gut?
I thought we had labeling standards in place.
Well, there is labeling standards according to the FDA. Oh. Now, you know, when the food labeling standards have gotten better significantly, because you do know the amount of carbohydrates, protein, fats, et cetera, that you're getting in your food. But in the dietary supplement area, especially in probiotics, you don't have this kind of oversight. And I think the confusion is made there for a reason, because you wouldn't be able to have all the various dietary supplement products of probiotics on the shelf if this labeling standard were vigorously enforced. So no, to answer your question directly, we do not have an enforced probiotic labeling standard. The one that it was adopted by the industry and then read into congressional record, it has been ignored, and ignored for a reason, because it's bad for business. What you have is one private labeler providing virtually 80 to 90% of all the products that are on the shelf or sold on the internet, and it just depends on how well the company selling the product can give you the story or fake that they have some kind of a probiotic standard that they're enforcing to. And you, as the consumer who does not have all of this information, can be easily swayed and tricked. And the whole point is that that's not what the health food industry is about. Those of us who are the pioneers in this industry wanted to affect a positive change in people's health. And you can't do that unless you know what it is you're consuming in your dietary supplement product. And if I go back to the definition, the dietary supplement is an ingredient meant to supplement your diet and increase that ingredient in your diet, which you may be deficient in. So if you don't know exactly what you're getting in your probiotic supplement, how can you be affecting that condition?
You know, it seems like these labeling standards are important. And I think getting the information out for your consumers, it's really important. Can you do me a favor? Can you mention one more time that literature? I actually have a few people chiming into me talking about the literature. What is it called?
Oh, okay. The literature will be up on our website in a couple of days.
Okay.
We're finalizing. It's called What to Look For When Buying Probiotics.
Perfect.
And the subtitle is 7 Key Factors Every Quality Probiotic Supplement Label Should Tell You. And it's going to be on the Natron website. That's www.natron.com. And also, you have full information in just the podcast that I completed with Steve Langford at www.healthquestpodcast.com. And it says how to read a probiotic label and how do you have confidence in your probiotic. So that narrative and the podcast is available at Natron and on healthquestpodcast.com.
You know, I think when a consumer goes into a health food store, you know, they go in to get what they're using, maybe ask some questions. And I wonder if it ever crosses their mind about how their probiotics are shipped.
I think that it's misled, because let me just tell you my personal experience. I know a lot of the good people in the health food stores are miffed by this, but they really don't control it. A lot of these so-called probiotic manufacturers ship their products unrefrigerated to the store and then tell the store to refrigerate it once it arrives there. And I'm horrified by this. That's like shipping your yogurt or your milk to the store unrefrigerated and then telling the store to refrigerate it once it's there. I think people don't understand the concept that bacteria are kept in arrested growth when they're kept cold. And that's why, for instance, perishable foods such as dairy and soy and even almond milk have to be refrigerated, because if you think of the concept, refrigeration is meant to slow down the growth of the bacteria that's in the product. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay, so if you have a probiotic that has living microbes, now we want the opposite. We don't want the bacteria to die off in the probiotic product. We want it to be healthy when it reaches us. So if you are not supporting the lack of growth inside a closed-ended system, which is a capsule or a bottle, you know, one probiotic microbe will grow from 0 to 16 billion in approximately 8 hours. Now, if that's true and you have a closed-ended system like a capsule where no food is coming in and no waste is going out, how do you think that those bacteria will survive, first of all, for that reason? Because you're forcing them to multiply, and they don't have any food coming in, so they'll die out. So second of all, when they start multiplying, when they're exposed to heat or moisture during warehousing or transportation or mishandling by the consumer, they're also going to be producing byproducts to start inhibiting the growth of the other bacteria that are inside the capsule with them. So now you have a battle going on with the bacteria that are inside that capsule, and we call those stressed bacteria cells because they're stressed by the exposure of bad temperature control, and they're also stressed by the fact that they jam so many bacteria into a capsule hoping that they'll meet their label declaration. And they're stressed, number three, because now they're trying to knock each other out so that they can stay alive. So you don't have a product with bacteria that are going to be in very good shape if they survive to meet your inside. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
So this is where, you know, I thought that people understand, but they don't understand that microbiology is completely different than biochemistry. That what you know, ingredients in products that contain inert ingredients or ingredients that are not living microbes have a completely different relationship with the bottle and the capsule they're in than living microbes. These living microbes, their main function in life is to produce its own kind in large numbers and dominate its environment. So anytime you take that bacteria out of its environment, which is the growth medium in the production facility, and try to arrest that bacteria in its growth, in other words, you're trying to stop it from growing until it reaches a very fertile inside ecosystem, your GI tract, which is about 27 feet, where there now it can start growing and multiplying because your GI tract is an open-ended system. What do I mean by that? It means that food is coming in and water on a continual basis, and, you know, waste material is expelled from the body on a regular basis. So it's a dynamic, open-ended system. And that's where the bacteria are meant to be. Anytime you encapsulate a probiotic bacteria or put it in a food, you're hampering its prime objective in life, which is to multiply as rapidly and as much as it can. So I think by understanding this, people will understand why it's so important that they understand how their probiotic product is labeled and how their probiotic product is maintained during warehousing, shipping, and when they purchase the product.
Could you tell me how you determine an expiration date?
An expiration date is determined by doing extensive shelf life studies. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, many of these people just assign an expiration date. And again, if nobody's challenging them by assigning an expiration date, they can put any date they want. And most of the time is based on what are the commercial needs rather than what are the true scientific data finding of, you know, controlled shelf life. And also they'll have shelf life studies under controlled conditions in the laboratory, not really studying what effect the, you know, warehousing and shipping will have on that product if you don't control the temperature. So in both instances, the consumer is the loser because they're not given truthful information.
Okay, now the next part of that question, if you have taken due diligence with your probiotic, you bought the quality probiotic, you read the label, you got it home, you refrigerated it, and it was stored right, it was made correctly, but it got pushed to the side of the refrigerator and you kind of forgot about it and it's a week or a month over expiration, can you still take it?
Yeah, you can still take it, but unless it's a Natrum product, you have no idea what you have in the product. You may have nothing. A Natrum product will have certainly a vast amount of the cells in the product even 2 or 3 months after the pull date. Although, you know, we can't guarantee anything because we don't know what you've done with the product, but we guarantee our product based on scientific shelf life and knowing what, you know, handling procedures may happen in real life. Everybody gives an overage, so in case there is a mistake, that you at least have the declared amount of potency on the label. But, you know, this business of expiry date really has to be controlled because I can only speak for myself as Natrum, the manufacturer, that we take very big steps and precautions to make sure that our expiry date is verified. And we're also audited by a government agency to make sure that our shelf life studies are accurate and that we're not representing. I can't say that the others are exposed to this. And the reason Natron is exposed to this, because we operate in a pharmaceutical grade facility, and we're also audited under the medicinal foods category, which is much more stringent than the category that the other manufacturers are audited under.
So when they do an audit with you, they're auditing raw product, manufacturing, end product, storage, shipping, potency, availability, everything.
Everything. In other words, we cannot use any ingredient that we get into our warehouse until we quarantine that raw material. We send out samples from various parts of the raw material. In other words, if we have a pallet of a raw material, we can't just take samples from the top bag. We have to take samples from the middle, from the bottom, and make what they call a combined sample, send it out to an outside lab, wait for the outside lab to confirm that this ingredient actually is accurate in its representation. And then, and only then, can we put that ingredient in use in our production facility. So that's huge. And second of all, we test our product three times before we ship it. We test it after it's fermented, we test it after it's bottled, and we test it before we send it. So the product is tested extensively. When we put in a potency guarantee date, it's based on good shelf life studies. It's not just based on somebody wanting a date because they need to meet a marketing objective.
You know, as we have progressed in this industry and new testing has come out, new technology, it seems like, you know, there's better ways that you can put into the laboratory. I know that your laboratory is a state-of-the-art laboratory, and obviously all along the way you've been upgrading and changing over to all the new ways of doing things for better diagnostics. So a lot of it, a very much involved process that just never ends.
Right. We're a very small company, but we have 5 full-time, the credentialed people in our laboratory. In fact, we have our technical director with 2 PhDs. We have 2 ladies that, one lady that has a PhD, the other has a master's, and all of us come from very good universities with at least a Bachelor of Science that work in our, as bench microbiologists in our lab. And, you know, many companies, if you call, they don't even have a technical director, a director for their 200 SKUs that they have, you know, that they're selling. So I think that's very important for the consumer to start asking, well, who is your technical director? How do you guarantee the quality of your product? Not just your probiotic, but any product. I think, unfortunately for the consumer, this is a very important field because our food is truly not providing a lot of these ingredients that we have to ingest and as dietary supplements. And if we're going to be ingesting dietary supplements, we better well know what's inside the product.
Do you ever think that we get to the point when we can let our guard down and we just, you know, just start feeling more comfortable with our probiotic? It seems like this is going to be a very involved process. And, you know,
well, you know what? I've been doing this for 45 years, Jeffrey, and the only way you can feel comfortable is that, and this is not a sales pitch, is that, you know, Natron is a company that's been doing the same thing for well over 30 years. We've never even had a complaint with the Better Business Bureau. We're here to serve the customer and to sell a product. And the best way you can really support yourself is to reward companies that are doing the right thing and are being transparent. If you keep rewarding the company that gives you the best coupons or gives you the best discount, but doesn't deliver the product that's implied by their label statement, then you're hurting yourself and you're enforcing that practice in the industry, which is bad for everybody.
Let me ask you one question. When you are putting these products together, and some products, you know, if you have more than one strain in a bottle, how do they coexist within the bottle and not argue with each other and still be able to do what they need to do within the body? What has to be in place for that to happen?
Well, the only way you can do that is by keeping them separate. I had to go through the expense of doing something which is called enrobing the probiotic bacteria with oil. And oil, you know, keeps them separate. It keeps them sort of in micro-enrobed in their own environment and protects them from each other and protects them from the gastric juices. In fact, our Healthy Trinity Oil Matrix product has been tested by a European institute and found to survive gastric juices as low as 1.7 pH for well over an hour. This is unheard of. And then the bacteria are tested for bile tolerance, so they survive bile. So each aspect of our manufacturing process is selecting the bacteria, figuring out how we can keep them alive during shelf life and transportation, and keeping them alive during their passage through the stomach acid and bile. So that's important. You have to meet all of that criteria for the bacteria survival, and then you will experience the true health benefits of a good probiotic.
I think one of the things that we're taking away from this is that consumers have to be involved, companies have to be involved, and I think that we have to coexist together and both kind of think about the things that we need to be looking for. And I think your article is going to be really good. Remember to go to natron.com and listen not only to the podcast, but also download that new literature. I think you're going to find it to be very, very informative. And there's great articles. And don't forget to also follow them on Facebook as well. They post great posts every single day. I share a lot of them myself, but they're great posts and good information. And they're not just on one area of health. They talk about all areas of health and the benefits of probiotic. It's a really good page, Natasha.
Oh, thank you very much. We work, you know, we have full-time people, and I'm checking those blog postings myself and get involved and give them ideas. And like I said, that the area of probiotics is exploding with information. I think the consumer really needs to have transparency and needs to know who they can trust. And truly, I don't want to be the only manufacturing that's following the probiotic labeling standard. And the only way that's going to happen is if the consumer becomes active and, you know, demand that this information be made available. I think that by rewarding people, again, who are giving you the biggest discounts or giving you the biggest coupons, that may not give you a product that will give you results. And I've been told for well over 30 years that people haven't seen the results until they try the product. Whatever you may think, this is a commercial push. It's not. You know, I've dedicated my life to this. I believe in it. I have tried to encourage other competitors to do the same thing, because it's not about any one company controlling the industry. It's about the industry being accountable and transparent and having authenticity for its, you know, customers, so that they derive the benefit that they believe that they're deriving, and for shelling out their hard-earned money to buy the product.
Anything that you'd like to, maybe a couple quick points to remind people about that they can take away from this podcast today?
Yeah, what they can take away from the podcast, that purchasing probiotic supplements can be a waste of money unless you know how to decipher the language printed on the label. So you can just imagine buying a multiple vitamin without knowing how much vitamin C versus vitamin D versus vitamin E is in the product. It's the same thing. When you purchase probiotics, it's important not only to understand the words, the symbols, the abbreviations that are being used, but also how to spot ambiguities, omissions, deceptive language that's very pervasive on the labels, unfortunately. So to help the consumer, that's why we're giving them this seven key factors to look for when they're reading a probiotic labeling standard. And remember that probiotic organisms are living single-celled brains, and they only operate in their best interest. So the duty of the probiotic manufacturer is to make sure that that organism has its directive met for survival, and that it survives not only manufacturing, but warehousing, shipping, and the harsh task of surviving gastric juices and bile. So, you know, once we have those elements met, then we can have true competition where people will give you the differences between their delivery systems and why their organisms have been found to be better for you, instead of, you know, creating the confusion that's out there right now.
Well, I think we really clarified a lot today. I think you did a great job at bringing the information and just making it easy to understand.
Well, I thank you for that. I think it's been my passion. I think the listeners need to understand why they need to be engaged. They're going to probably, hopefully not yawn, as I said. It's more important for you to know this than knowing what the roast of your Colombian coffee is, or buying your designer coffee, or knowing how to use your new operating system on your cell phone. I can't tell you how important this is, because your body is just as complex as your cell phone. And you are probably dumping stuff in there that would probably kill your cell phone within a matter of minutes, not a matter of days, if you did the same thing to your cell phone as you do to your body by consuming junk food, by eating food that's not properly washed or cooked, where you're giving your body a huge bacterial load every day. And then you wonder why people have to pop pills for mood swings, anxiety, depression, and just feeling lousy, because if you don't fuel your body and you don't have the right resources in your gut to make certain that your body is being nourished and not poisoned, ultimately you will pay the price, because you're not going to be healthy. And that's just my bottom line.
A lot of information today. Make sure to go to natron.com and get these downloadable information and check out the podcast. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this show and to download the on-demand podcast, visit my show page at radiomd.com. I thank you all for tuning in. Be well.